FM 105.5, WGCH, and WGCH.com anywhere. WGCH newsletter time is 8:21. Third Thursday of each month means we get our Greenwich Real Estate Report. Joining me on the line is the Executive Director of the Greenwich, Executive Vice President, I should say, of the Greenwich Association of Realtors, Stacy Lowe, as well as 2020, and now we hear 2021 President John McAtee. Stacy, John, good morning. Welcome. How are you guys doing today?
Good morning, Tony.
Doing well. All right. Good morning. Happy New Year.
And a Happy New Year to both of you. And we're going to take a look back at December and see if the December number is as good as the months preceding that. Stacy, give us the lowdown.
Sure. So I'll go through the December numbers and then give a little bit of a summary of Q4 and year-end 2020 because it is that time of year. So for December, we saw 91 single-family residential closings in 2020. That's compared to 37 in 2019. So you can see the stark difference of the activity we saw in 2020 to 2019 just in that month alone. The median sale price for single-family homes during that month increased to $2 million even, which was up from around $1.8 million. The average days on market for December 2020 was 140 days, which is a major decrease from 258 days. I'm sure John will give a little bit more information about the inventory and how quickly everything is moving right now. Condos and co-ops, we had 31 condo and co-op closings during the month of December. That's compared with only 15 in the month of December in 2019. The median sale price for condos during that month also increased to $885,000. That's up from around $687,000 December 2019. Days on market also saw a decrease for condos and co-ops at 186, which is down slightly from 197 in December 2019. Indicators for the month ahead, we have 82 single-family homes currently pending and 18 condos and co-ops currently pending. So jumping into Q4 and year-end, that rounds us out with 282 sales for the quarter for single-family homes. And for the year, that's 861 sales. Now, when we compare that to 2019, the total single-family sales for 2019 was 528. So we're talking over 300 more sales in 2020 than in 2019. And same with the Q4 2019, we saw 118. So you compare that now to the 282 for Q4 2020. Prices also increased. So for Q4 2019, it was around 1.7. Year-end, around 1.8. We're now looking at Q4 2020, just over 2 million. Same thing for year-end 2020. So when you factor in the entire year, you get that. So days on market, also a huge decrease. We were over 230 days for both Q4 2019 and year-end 2019. We've now brought that down to under 200 for both Q4 and year-end 2020. And then I think the biggest indicator of just how much activity was happening besides unit sales, obviously, is the dollar volume sales. And we saw about $803 million in dollar volume sales Q4 2020. That's compared to $255 million volume in 2019 Q4. So when you round that out for the entire year, that's over $2.3 billion in sales for year-end 2020, and that's compared to year-end 2019 at $1.25 billion. So very active market we have going on. John will certainly add some more color to that.
Go ahead, John. What do you have? What can you add to that?
Well, it's pretty hard to add to that. I think the numbers kind of speak for themselves. I think, you know, December clearly was a strong month, and December can be the strongest month in the fourth quarter, driven by intent to close by the year end. But that really put a fourth quarter with that over $800 million in sales volume and 282 transactions as the second busiest quarter in the last 15 years, second only to the previous quarter, Q3. Of 2020. So you really have to look at the kind of last 20 years and the historical numbers, and we would have to go back for a quarter to even come within 20% of Q3 and Q4 for 2020, going all the way back to 2005, the third quarter, which was 228 closings and $600 million of transactions. And as Stacey was alluding to, the year-end numbers, the number of 861 closings represents the most closings we have had as we've tracked back over the last 20 years. We would have to go back to 2004 when there were 834 closings to have the only other year where there were more than 800 closings. And with dollar volume at $2.3 billion, just to put it in a rough context, that's $1 billion more of sales than we did last year. Kind of interesting note, when we talk about the median price, and it did go up 12% straight across the board for 2020, there are a couple of interesting reasons. One, I think, is because the discount margin tightened on average. The average percentage of listing price received in 2020 was 95.5%, and that's a tighter margin than the typical 93% that we see. And I think people were also looking for more square footage, and so that tends to be on a price per square foot, leading towards higher transaction price. But what was really, I think, interesting goes to show that Greenwich is still relatively affordable in its historical context, because the price per square foot had a nominal change. For all of Greenwich, the average price per square foot was $557, and that is only a 2% increase from last year. And that's, you know, Greenwich proper was only 1.1% increase, Coz Cob was 1.8%. Riverside had the greatest appreciation and was one of the two areas over $600. It was $619 a square foot, and that was a 14% appreciation. But what's really interesting is that Old Greenwich has the highest price per square foot at $626 a square foot, but was actually down 1.8% from the previous year. So Greenwich has done incredibly well. It's been a remarkable year, and by all indications, it will continue certainly into the beginning of 2021.
That's right. That was obviously the follow-up question. This continues, I guess. Is this driven solely by the pandemic, and if things start calming down with the vaccine out there and so forth, that we'll see a calming down of the market, John?
Well, that's an interesting question. I think we had the annual meeting, and we listened to the chief economist for the National Association of Realtors, and he was talking about certain economic forecasts and housing market forecasts. And with the opening of the economy after the rollout of the vaccine, what really I think are macro leading indicators are that savings are up significantly. And that, compounded with more stimulus, is going to lead towards growth in GDP. So the forecast for 2021 is that there's going to be a 4% increase in GDP. That will lead to a net gain of jobs. The 10-year Treasury, which is the major leading indicator for mortgage rates, will stay roughly the same, around 1%. And even though there's been a real increase in spike in construction materials kind of March through April, it's starting to come down, and CPI should remain the same. So the national forecast for the housing market, indicative of mortgage applications, which are currently up right now, which leads towards people getting prepared to make negotiations, that they're at historical lows. I think they ended 2020 around, on average, 2.7%, and perhaps tick up a little bit, but for the next year, maybe in a 3% range, and new construction will be very much in demand. They're projecting a 23% increase in absorption of new construction sales. Existing home sales will be up 9%, and home prices up 3%. But just anecdotally, to put it into the Greenwich market, as Stacey mentioned, you know, we have a number of properties that are currently pended, a number of properties that are already under contract, and in the past week, I have seen multiple bids on properties in all parts of town, in all price ranges. I mean, price ranges over the median average. In the $3 million price range, there were two properties, you know, one down in Riverside, one in Mid-Country. They each had, you know, 30-plus showings, sealed bid, five offers. The reality is that absorption is very high, inventory very, very low. And so this is a great time to get your property on the market. Don't wait. We need inventory. And literally, since we've been on this phone call, I just got an email from a client who asked if I knew of anything that hasn't hit the market yet, because they're familiar with all 300 properties that are on the market and looking for more.
I see. That's just happening. And finally, Stacey, you know, was referenced in the BET budget committee about the conveyance tax. The town's loving all this money coming in.
Yeah, the state certainly made that change at the right time, huh? There was an increased conveyance tax added. It began July 1st of 2020, and it is a 2.25% rate for the amount over $2.5 million. Now, we've seen more properties sold over that $3 million mark than in this year than we have in many years prior. So, the state certainly got away with that one. It's helping to fund that rainy day fund everybody talks about.
All right, guys.
But at the local level, too, Tony, you know, the conveyance tax for the local municipality is certainly helpful.
All right. Well, guys, and by the way, we want to announce that John is back as GAR president for 2021. He won a unanimous vote.
Right? That he did.
Careful what you wish for.
no contested election, and that's right. Be careful what you wish for. Guys, thanks very much again. Happy New Year. Stacey Lowe, John McAtee, Greenwich Real Estate Report. Thank you.
Happy New Year. Thank you.
WGCH Sioux Center time is 8:33. Let's